give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever and ever. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength. You are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. And it is in your name we pray these things. Amen. Indeed. I want to begin today by thanking the Bell Choir. Yay, team. Indeed. And our choir also. Organists, I can sort of see the top of your head. So, well, yay, team. All right. Have you ever noticed something? Just about the time that you get something kind of figured out, it changes. I mean, every time I turn around, you know, I got one of those new iPhones here about a year ago because the one I had literally crashed like 40 minutes before the store was going to close on Saturday night, and I couldn't be without it because I was on call for hospitals and things. And so I went and did, and you know, I've had this thing over a year. I still don't know how to use everything on it. As a matter of fact, I had asked Sue the other day in the office. I said, how do you do this? And she said, just give it to me. And just like that, she got me fixed up. And it's not just your phone. It seems like every time I turn around with computer programs, you know, about the time I sort of begin to understand to make them do something of what I want them to do, Microsoft or whoever it is in their infinite wisdom comes along and everything changes up again. And what you have been doing is no longer supported, and all of a sudden it's crashing all the time. Change, 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 change. And it's not just in technology. For some of us, it's in our bodies, you know. Alex and I, we were over at the Home Depot the other day to pick up some sheetrock for the house. And I made a comment to him about, you know, it used to be I could grab that double stack, you know, the two pieces together, how they're united and stuff. I don't do that with one sheet hardly anymore. I used to grab those two and away I'd go with it, not even think twice about it. The changes and what we're physically, sometimes even mentally, capable of doing. All of these things are being changed up. And before you know it, things are just turned on their head. And what was is no longer the case. You take a church like this. I love our church. I love our outreach programs and the things that we do with TLC and Backpack and all the many other things that are going on here. Our rector's gone today because he has been leading a retreat for the Brotherhood over the last 3 days. And so I just love the content and the outreach and the love that we have. But, you know, it's always changing. It's always being altered because of something that is happening. And that sort of like blends us in immediately into our gospel lesson today. You know, this whole thing is a continuation of last week. You realize that, okay? We're still in Capernaum. Last week we heard in this gospel in Mark how it was that Jesus went into the synagogue in Capernaum, and he was the guy who stood up and read the scripture, because that's just what happened. Men stood up and read the scripture, and then they make commentary upon it. Because there weren't preachers. There wasn't a rabbi in every synagogue along the way. And so members of the congregation, people in the congregation, especially strangers, would be called upon to do these things. And he did it. And at that moment, the man who had a demon jumps in. And Jesus, silencing the demon, then relieves the man of the demon. And the next thing you know, the change happens. Can you imagine what happened in the village? Word would begin to spread from this house to that house. There's a new fella in town who's a healer. Jesus goes off to the home of Andrew and Simon, Peter. He goes in the door. He's hungry. It's time to eat supper. But he hears that Simon's mother-in-law is sick upstairs. And so what does he do? He goes upstairs and he reaches up and lifts her up by the hand. And the fever that she had, which killed a lot of people in that age because they didn't know how to handle it. She goes back downstairs and begins to help get the meal together. And then evening comes. And what happens? The Sabbath is over. And now everybody from town that has illness, everyone who has someone who has a demon, an evil spirit, they all come to the house. The Sabbath is over. And they know about the healer, Jesus. And one by one, he heals them and relieves them of the evil spirits. You know, that stuff still goes on today, don't you? Right? Those things still happen. People are healed. It's happened in this congregation. Demons are cast out of those possessed still to this day. And Jesus did all these things, and it all turned topsy-turvy and everything else. And can you imagine how the telegraphy went, even to the outer communities? And before daylight, Jesus gets up to go off to recharge his batteries. Good lesson this morning for the kids. He went off to recharge his batteries and prayed with the Father. And the scripture says in the Greek that the disciples hunted him down. Hunted, that's the word really. Hunted. They hunted him down. And said, "Everybody's looking for you, guy. Come on, Jesus. We're going to go back here and do some more." And Jesus says to him, No. We have other places to go, because what I've come for is to proclaim the word of God. That's why I am here. The healing, the casting out of evil spirits, those were symbols and signs of him being the Son of God, being the spokesperson for God. The real purpose of his life was to proclaim the gospel, the good news of God, of the kingdom. Changes. And he went to other communities, healed, cast out demons, did all these other things in other places. Changes took place. Now, one of the things, I would make this observation clearly about a congregation like ours. If we are, in fact, engaging with others like we do, whether it's TLC or one of the other things that we do, or maybe it's like what I ran into this last week. I'm at a local bakery picking up some stuff before our staff meeting, and I had a lady come up to me while I'm standing there looking at my pastries, and we had a divine appointment. Changes occur, and pressures happen. And whether we are ready or not, they're going to happen. As long as we are engaged in the process of being the church and proclaiming the gospel by the things that we not only say, but by the things that we are doing, they're going to occur. It's going to happen. And we need to be ready. What? How would we handle if someone burst through the door right now possessed of a demon? What would we do? How are we going to respond when someone asks us distinctly for prayer? Do we go, oh, let me get the priest? That's what some people do, by the way. That's what they do. And what we need to do is to do what Jesus did, which is to find out what the real needs are and become engaged with them in prayer that they might have wholeness in their life through Jesus Christ. Wholeness through Jesus Christ. So, which comes to the second and final point that I want to make, and it was made for us very well in the children's sermon. The only way we're going to be ready to do the things that are ahead of us, and there are things, a lot of things ahead of us as a church, is if we are in fact recharging our batteries in the very same way that Jesus did. That we are engaged with our Father in heaven in prayer. That we are in fact in His Word. How else do we know what we're supposed to be doing? Do we tune in to CNN to find out? I hope not. It's in the Word of God that we find out. All right? Through prayer, through Scripture, through sacrament, through the reception of the body and blood of Christ, and by the other six. There are seven, you know. All right. And so by being engaged in those things, are we able to charge our batteries to be able to meet the challenges that are ahead of us as a community of faith? It's not up to those of us who dress in funny clothes all the time to do these things. By the way, that same bakery, there's a number of our members who meet there, I understand, on a rather regular basis. I wonder, not to put anybody on the spot, but if people have asked you to pray for needs, do they know in fact that you are a Christian and have been called to be engaged with the brokenness of our world? You see, that's what we've been called to, each and every one of us, by our baptisms. We were commissioned to carry out these things. Each and every one of us. To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.